It's time for the Thursday episode of the Fitton County Red Zone Week 7 Preview Show, sponsored by J&K Contracting. One call, we do it all. We will preview the Fitton County Vikings Week 7 matchup versus the Federal Hockey Lancers, as well as go over the Week 7 matchups of the TVC. Then we will end this episode with the legendary Dollars and Dimes Rapid Fire Predictions. The voices you're stuck listening to for the next hour, Lugs Harold and Nathan Lamb. And returning to the studio to take his shot at the Rapid Fire Predictions, Dusty Ward.
Welcome to episode 7.2 of the Viking Red Zone Podcast, brought to you by J&K Contracting. One call does it all, 698-3521. Federal Hockey. It's a preview show.
Yes.
Bed Hawk.
2-1 in the TVC. Got our final out-of-conference game this week.
Out-of-conference game. This will not count in league or conference play standings. One team each week after week four has a non-conference game, and this is our turn. And so we will travel to Fed Hawk. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We got Dusty back. How was the stay, Dusty?
Great. That was awesome. Spaghetti's great.
Spaghetti everywhere.
Spaghetti. Buddy. Spaghetti. Yeah. Spaghetti actually sounds really good right now.
I got to be Italian because it's either spaghetti or pizza for me. That's pretty much what it is.
I can only eat spaghetti with garlic bread, though.
I have to have garlic bread. Bruschetta. Now, you ever had bruschetta with it?
I don't even know what that is.
That is awesome. It's just garlic bread with you have garlic bread, you put minced garlic on it, tomatoes, cheese, all kinds of stuff on top of it. It's awesome, man. Bruschetta. Look it up. Tell your wife you want bruschetta.
Yeah, right. So. Yeah.
make it yourself.
Yeah. She'll tell me to go to Olive Garden.
This is the first time we went completely off course from this episode. But we do it right off the bat on Thursday.
It happens.
So, okay. All right.
Last week was awesome, but we had to cut it out because something happened. But it was really cool.
I don't remember.
Remember we were talking about I wanted to get the Circle Pizza recipe from...
Oh, yes. Yes. We went through a whole cooking spew.
And then we had to nix it because something happened. Somebody said a cuss word or something, probably Lugs.
Yeah. I don't.
Okay, let's get back on track. The Fed Hawk preview, the Federal Hockey Lancers, we travel there for the third, we travel there for the second time in 3 years. This is the third year of a four-year deal, I think.
I'm not sure.
I know we play them next year again. Okay, week. Which it kind of, the reason, and a lot of people probably are asking why is Vinton County playing Federal Hockey, because Vinton County is, even when we're not very good, Federal Hawking has never really been a power, and they are in the TVC Hawking, and they are a lot smaller of a school. So a lot of people are like, well, why are you playing them? Well, it just so happens that they have odd number. The TVC Hawking has an odd number of teams, and the Ohio has an odd number of teams, and that just matches up. We match up our non-conference games. Our non-conference weeks match up,
week seven, we play each other.
Just like Alexander – in a few weeks is going to play Trimble because they're both off that week, right? Mm-hmm. So that's really the answer to that question, because if we didn't play Fed Hawk, who else are you going to play? Everybody else around here is in league play.
Okay? Yeah.
Everybody else around here is in league play. You're going to have to go to either out of state or Columbus, Cincinnati, Dayton area to fill this week. So it's much easier to just...
Like we did with Harvest Prep a few years ago.
Right.
So it's Nelsonville a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They went up to, where was it, Canal Winchester? No, that was Athens.
That was Athens.
But, yeah.
So it's much easier to, you know, just go ahead and schedule Federal Hawking, because it works out easier for both schools in terms of scheduling, which has a big part of, you know, who you play determines on, a lot of it's determined on if they're open or... You know, what their league, you know, schedule is like and all that. So a lot goes into that, and that's why we're playing the, you know, Federal Hockey. Now in a couple of years, will it change? I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it will or not. Like I said, if we don't play them, who are we going to play?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess.
We know Southeastern's coming to the schedule in a few years, right?
Yeah, so. But that's week one.
Yeah, that's early in the week. One. That's replacing Unioda.
Because they have, the SVC has three non-league weeks, and they're 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah. And ours can stagger through the year,
right?
Depending on who it is.
So unless the schedule gets redone, which I don't foresee it happening unless a team comes into the league.
Yeah,
which I don't
stuck with Fed Hop.
Really foresee that happening either. And we get to an even number of teams, you're going to have this. You're going to have this issue. You're going to have to play a team that's much bigger, much smaller, or really far away.
Yeah.
And that's where we're at. So just wanted to get that out of the way. So if you want to go ahead and give the numbers on this rivalry here, because it goes back a long way, and we'll get into that too. So just go ahead and give us some numbers.
Okay, yeah. We are 18 wins and 7 losses against Federal Hockey all time. We actually took them off the schedule in 93. That's when we readjusted the whole TVC alignment. They went to the Hawking.
Right.
We put them back on our schedule in 2014. So we went 21 years without even playing them. So pretty long gap.
And that, by the way, to just hammer that point home, that was the first year River Valley joined the TVC.
Yes.
And so that gave us that open slot week.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's why.
So Fed Hawks' last win against us was in 1982. We are presently on a 12-game winning streak. That actually goes back all the way back into the 90s and 80s. So,
right, right.
So even with the gap, we're on a 12-game winning streak against them. Of course, we won last week or last year 56-6, big controversial game. We'll get into that a little bit. That was our first win of the season. We were both 0-5 going into that game, and we ended up winning that game. So Uzi broke the single-game rushing record in that game with 296 yards. It was a 40-some-year-old rushing record, I believe. And I think it was by Beat Award that owned it. And
ended up beating him.
So, both teams, the Vikings right now are 2-4. Fed Hawk is 0-6. They're coming in again without a win. So, and an important thing I wanted to bring up is Downs has actually coached both teams and took both teams to the playoffs. A very interesting topic. So, that's what I got for Fed Hawk. I can't remember the exact first year, but like I said, I know we talked about them being that charter team. You want to talk a little bit about that. So, all right, let's go into that.
1969.
Yes.
The year was 1968, and Benton County was not in a conference. We were out of a conference. 66, we were in the MOVC, the Mid-Ohio Valley Conference, which is what I think the Jackson's new league should be called, just because we got roots here.
Nostalgia.
Anyways, we played in that league, which was MacArthur's league, for the first year that we consolidated. And obviously MacArthur High School was a lot smaller than after we consolidated. So we played in that schedule because we consolidated like a month before the season started. So we had no time to do anything. So we play in the MOVC and we win that league. And it's against Eastern Rutland, who doesn't even have a school anymore. Wahama was in that conference and somebody else I can't remember. But anyways, we go 2 years without being in a league. And what happened was is during those 2 years, we actually applied to the SEOAL to get in. And we got denied. It was actually us and Warren had applied, and so did Ironton. And back then, a lot of schools were consolidating. Middleport and Pomeroy consolidated to make Meigs High School, and Rutland consolidated, too, to go to Meigs. And there were a couple other schools in the SEOAL that consolidated. York and Nelsonville, obviously, combined to make Nelsonville York. So they lost some teams. So they needed one team to make an even number. So they were going to take one of those three teams. And we made our pitch. Warren made their pitch. Ironton made their pitch, which Ironton had been in and out of the SEOAL even at that point in time a few times. Well, they were voted in seven votes, and us and Warren got 0 votes. So kind of sucked. I mean, because the SEOAL would have been perfect fit for us because we were the same size as all those schools. So what do? We talked to, obviously we talked to Warren because they got shunned just like we did. We talked to Fed Hawk and we talked to Belpre. All schools very similar in size at the time, keep in mind. And we talked to them that year in 68 and we decided to make our own league. So we create the TVC, and in 69 was the first year those four teams competed. 1970 Nelsonville York joined. And from then on, it just kind of blew up to one of the biggest leagues, actually the biggest league in Southeast Ohio, right, to this day. So that's where it all started. Fed Hawk, I've always had a lot of respect for them just because, I mean, they're like our brother. I mean, you know, they joined the same time we created this thing. So I always look at them and say, you know, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't even have a league, it would be completely different, you know, the way things look right now.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Them and Belpre and even Warren, even though they left in the 80s. So that's one thing that I wanted to point out. I have a lot of respect for Federal Hawking, and they've been maybe not the greatest football program during that time, and neither have we, other than, you know, aside from a time in the 80s, 90s, and mm-hmm. Around 10 years ago. But they've been a heck of a basketball program, and they've always had one. And I've got records, and they've won just a tremendous amount of basketball titles in the TVC. So, wow. I mean, and one thing to keep in mind, like I said, back then, you know, all these schools were the same size. You know, the enrollment over there has really fallen off. They're actually D7 now. And, you know, we've kind of maintained our status of school size. So,
yep.
But, yeah, that's one interesting fact, if you didn't know, about Federal Hawking and about us and about the TVC in general. So
that is awesome information, and I did not know that at all. So,
now
I mean,
know.
Even I learned something. I'm sure everybody out there is going to know it.
I'm still puzzled.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
They even know that information.
That's why he's my partner right there. So that's great. So
I'm a nerd.
Okay, so we're going in. We're going to be at Federal Hawking. We're going in there. We're 2-1. Won two of our last three games. Pretty big game. How you guys feeling about this game?
Well, I think, you know, I'm going to be realistic here. They have struggled this year. They've only scored, you know, in two games. And obviously we got to go in there with a mindset that we got to play hard and we got to play good to win this game. And we do. Mm-hmm. You know, Federal Hawking has nothing to lose.
No,
they would love nothing more. And I got to hand it to Fed Hawk here, too, because if you look at the TVC Hawking schedule for every team, they've got two open weeks, right? I would say, other than Trimble, I would say that they have the toughest two non-league games. And you know, they may finish last in the league, but they had Alexander early in the year and us. Mm-hmm. And so they play both TVC. They play TVC Ohio schools in their two non-league weeks, and other schools don't. They play Green. They play, you know, the other teams that aren't quite as good or as big.
Yeah.
So I got to hand it to Fed Hawk. I mean, it's not like they're just trying to. They're playing Hannon, West Virginia, you know, just to pick up a win. So they're actually playing scheduling teams that, you know, that'll give them some competition. So, but at the same time, I mean, you know, you got to look at it as a game that, you know, maybe similar to last season. You know, it could. I don't think that it's going to be a 56-6 game, but I do, and I think there's a lot of things that, you know, we're going to maybe work on as a team. Things that we, you know, need to improve on.
Things you can work on in
right.
this game too.
And at the same time, obviously, if you've got anybody, you know, well, I don't want to say that, but like. Let me go this way with it. It's a game where, you know, there's no league implications here. So you just got to go out there. You got to play hard. You're going to have to play hard to beat Fed Hawk. They got nothing to lose. And, you know, you just got to let it fall where it may. You know, you may get a lot of younger guys that can come out and play. And you know, we're not sitting here saying that this one's over before it starts, but – at the same time, you know, you want to look at it as a chance to get some younger guys in the game. And similar to the Megs game, you know, in the fourth quarter, we had a lot of younger guys in the game. And even games where we're getting beat, like the Uniota game, you know, that's the same deal. Whether you're up big or down big, you still get some young kids in there and get some playing time. So.
Well, and you beat them 56-6 last year. So let me ask you guys this. I'll ask Dusty this. Do you think – You're going in and we expect to win this game. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you can sugarcoat it a little bit, but you can't say, you know, how about are we going to win? We don't know, but we should win the game. 56-6 last year has to weigh on their minds a little bit. I mean, how much is that? I mean, what motivation do they have to maybe play a better game this week? We're coming off a homecoming, a big win. We kind of feel like we're getting there, you know. Our confidence is running pretty high. Fed Hawk might be out for blood, right? I mean,
oh, I agree completely. I think Nate kind of said it earlier, is that for us to get our younger kids inside, or something we didn't hardly do at all last year when we was playing them.
No, we didn't.
We kept our Timmy Usley inside there almost the whole game.
Yeah.
And what do they have to lose? They don't have nothing to lose at all.
Yeah. And
they really don't. They're going to come to the game, and if Zach's same coaching staff from last year, am I correct? I'm pretty sure it is.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know their coaching staff, to be honest with you. That's a very good question.
Yeah.
So I don't think they got fired, though. I didn't hear anything about a firing.
I don't know.
Now, so they're going to remember
The kids are going to remember regardless.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing right now. That's going to be the biggest motivation for them going inside that game.
And let's roll into that a little bit here, and we'll set this up. It's the second half. We're up handily against these guys. They're not really competing with us. Timmy Uzi has 200-something yards rushing in the first half, or right at 200 yards rushing. Goes into the third quarter, and we knew he had a shot at the record. And Coach Wellman goes to Fed Hawk and says, hey, we're going to give him a shot at this record. Are you okay with that? And the guy says, yeah, if we can't stop your run, we deserve it. You know. So we went for the record. But even though we did it, and we kind of felt like we did it the right way, it left a bad taste in even Vinton County fans' mouths. It was a very difficult thing for a lot of people. And we're all on different sides of this in a little bit of a way, so we'll talk about this. But to set that up, you know, Timmy Uzi broke that record against them in kind of a smash mouth, we're not pulling the strings away from you guys in this game. Mm-hmm. And now you're going to Federal Hockey and playing. You know, so let's roll into that concept and that controversy, and let's talk about that a little bit. And I'll get Dusty's opinion right off of the bat. So that controversy there, how would you have handled that?
I tell you one thing right now, that was a big talk around here for
it was huge
for many weeks, probably remaining of the season,
almost the whole season.
That the only reason Timmy got that is because Federal Hawking was up big. The Federal Hawking just quit tackling; they just gave up on it, and that was a big talk, but. Everyone knows how good Timmy was.
Yeah, Timmy was great.
Oh,
yeah.
Timmy was very, very good.
He's starting as a freshman in college.
Oh, yeah,
and
the
I think the thing to not take away from Timmy, 296 yards is hard to get if you're just by yourself on a football field practicing with no one in front of you.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
296 yards is impressive against a junior high team. So
200 or a little over 200 yards first half. That's impressive.
Yeah, he was insane what he done. So, but that being said, too, there was a certain way that it was handled or it wasn't handled. You know, like I said, you know, so yeah, it left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. It did. It I've had this conversation, if not with 20 people, 50 people that have talked about this, and few of them stand on the side that I stand by too. And I'll tell you my side of it. We were 0-6 going into this game, okay? So, we were 0-5 going into this game.
Oh, and that's actually what sparked.
Is that right?
That's actually what really started us winning.
Yeah.
We were 0-6.
We were 0-6 going into this game. We were 0-6. They were 0-6 going into this game. And I think it's easy in a concept to look and, you know, and again, we're all so much older, we remember the 90s. We remember what it was like to be the better team and to be respectful and always play between the whistle, and then you pick the guy up, and then the next play you knock him over again and you pick him back up. And then that's how we were taught to play. So there was a certain amount of respect that we always had. But again, we were always winning 40-0. We were always winning 56-0, 63-0. You were taking a team last year that was 0-6, hadn't competed in any game. I mean, got their butts handed every game to them, okay? You had that one opportunity against Federal Hawking, for one thing, to give Timmy Uzi, who's a great player that did a lot for Vinton County and left his heart on that field, a chance to break a record. And I was all for it. I was glad that they'd done it. And I thought they did it the right way asking for it, too. And I also thought that you know, it's hard when you're 0-6 to act like you're a 6-0 Athens and you can call the dogs off at halftime. And that to me, was where I think people get a little confused about it, because I think you're riding that game, and you're trying to build momentum, not only for the seniors that are graduating and getting them some wins. You're also trying to develop Nathan Yates, and you're also trying to develop some of these younger kids like Lincoln Hayes that needed some time, too, that to get better. And these are games where, okay, do you sit them on the bench when they got two catches? Do you sit them on the bench when they got 40 yards rushing? Or do you let them build up a little confidence in this game and play? And because your starters are not Athens starters. They don't need a half of playing to sit down. They need that. They need that to build up, and I think it proved it because we went 3-1 at the end of the season. So that's where I stood on it, and I know I am on the opposite side from both of you guys.
Oh,
by the
I
way,
did.
So yeah. So, okay, we got Dusty's opinion a little bit here, so let's go with Nathan. So
I'll actually jump in for it.
Go ahead. We'll go back to you. So
go
he's thinking right now.
All right. Well, see, my biggest thing is that as I look at this, my years coaching and stuff like that, I'm set at junior high level, and Monday I said about getting kids inside for experience and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's a perfect opportunity. there's actually chances where you can actually have a kid insider playing on a Friday night. Kids love that.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
kid might not came back the following year only because that was his chance to shine.
Yeah.
Because we
yeah.
was 0-6 going insider. Rest of them, we lost one other game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then
I'll say something after you're done.
Then after that and stuff, we had a chance. They might not have had a chance to get inside there, mm-hmm. but that was a good chance for those kids to get inside there. Enjoy the win at the end of the game. They could celebrate yeah. and stuff. Score some points, exactly. Instead of actually going inside there, you already know you're losing battle and stuff. You're coming off the field, even though you feel good that you played Friday night. Mm-hmm. But you know you still lost. This is something that these younger classmen gets inside there feels good about. I helped win this. I played this for last maybe 3, 4, 5 minutes or so, but I helped out to get this win. I played. Yeah. And that's where I think we're younger classmen's doing it. And I agree what Jeff Downs is doing 100%. He gets inside there. He sees there's not a chance, whatever. He gets the younger kids inside there. I love his philosophy. I mm-hmm. really do.
Here's my counter to that. We were losing 49-0 at halftime to Athens. The starters played the rest of the game. We played them pretty much the whole game until almost the very end. What's the difference? If the game's out of reach and you can get those younger kids' experience in Athens and no one said a word or complained or nothing, and then all of a sudden when you're winning a game, all of a sudden now they wanted them kids playing because it was a win. Now, my opinion is we got our butts handed to us for six weeks straight where them kids got tons of playing time and no one said a word. And it doesn't matter if it's a win or a loss. If it's a 40-point gap and you can get kids playing time, just get them playing time. But against Fed Hawk, our first win of the season, our first win in what, how many games? Well, we beat Wellston the final game of that last year.
We beat Wellston the year before.
Yeah, but we won one game that year, I think. I think we won one or two. I can't remember. Again, it's off the top of my head. But, you know, it works both ways a little bit. But that was a win for Vinton County, where Vinton County had a kid break the record that was 40-some years old. Wellman got his first win ever. And it was almost a thunder stolen. You know, you're like, everybody should be happy. We won 56. I won 63-0 against Alexander. It's still the highest point scored in the game, I believe. And no one was upset that we did it. We pounded the snot out of them. People loved it. But yet, when he did it against Fed Hawk, your first win ever, and you're 0-5 in every loss, or you're 0-6 in every loss, everybody's upset over the losses, and they're mad about the losses. And then you win, and you're mad about the win. Well, it doesn't work both ways, does it? You got to just – the first win, he gets a get-out-of-jail-free card with me, okay? That's the first win you got. I'm happy with that win. I was confused that people didn't complain about that playing time when we're getting beat 49-0 to Athens. But then they did in a win against Federal Hockey. That was my confusion over all this. A win's a win.
I can't argue with that. I can't argue with that point.
This is going to be a good debate, isn't it?
I can't argue with that point.
Yeah.
What I can argue with is you beat Alexander 63-0 and everybody loved it. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there's a big difference between how people act and see things back then as opposed to now. Right? You agree?
I don't know.
It's a PC world. I mean, come on.
I mean,
you have to agree with that.
You're always trying building, too.
Okay. What I'm saying is, when you beat Alexander 63-0, okay, it was different because they were in our league. They were on our schedule. They played everybody else. You know, that's a league game. This is a game where we say, hey, do you want to play us? It's not mandatory.
That's true, yes.
It's not a mandatory game. It's not like when Athens comes here, we're going to kick the crap out of you because we can do it every year because you're in our league, so we're allowed. You got to kind of look at it as this is a game that doesn't have to be played, so you need to have a little bit of respect in terms of that. In my opinion, and I've told you this, the way that we broke the record, going to their coaching staff and saying, hey, we're close to this. Mm-hmm. Are you cool with it? Are you cool with us trying to do this?
That was fine.
That's fine. That makes it, the fact that it happened, okay for me.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, do I like
I
it?
Agree with that.
Do I like the fact that we beat the crap out of Federal Hawking last year, 56-6, when we were 0-6 and they were 0-6? You know, I don't think that's a good chest thumping game. I don't. I don't think that that's a team you need to do that to. Now, if you're playing Wellston and you have a chance to go to win 56-6, then do it. And not just Wellston. Wellston, Nelsonville, anybody else in our league, okay? Yeah. I say go for it. But when you're playing a team that's got 75 boys in their school, you know, half of what we have on our team total, I got a problem with it. It bothers me. It does bother.
Okay, so let's hear it. I know you're chiming. You're biting at the bit, Dusty.
He's actually correct because look, in 4 years, you can actually lose that deal. Then you might have to schedule, say, Jackson.
Right.
Logan. You might have to go clear up north or something like that.
Okay, but we just talked about the deal, and it's kind of a forced deal right now. So
I
don't think they're going to run because of the beating. I mean, if it gets changed up, it's going to be because it couldn't be
scheduled.
Well, no, right?
I don't think they will either because – and I will say this. They lost almost every game last year by about that score. And they weren't just losing to bigger schools. They were losing to teams their size in the TBC Hawking. I will say that. But it's okay for them to do that because they're not supposed to do that. You know, it's like big brother, little brother. And I hate to say that because I don't feel like we're in any position to do that to anybody. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you look at Jackson and Wellston. Is it okay that Jackson beats Wellston by 60 points every year?
Well, of course they think it is, I'm sure.
Well, so. I mean, Wellston makes money off of it, but is it okay? How do you see that game? Do you think it needs to be played?
It's a big money game for both schools.
It is real.
Yeah,
big
but
money.
Is it almost embarrassing by both schools that's even played?
Oh, it is, but it's a big rival too.
I understand
that.
How long can you have a rivalry
that's
that
not
lopsided?
Yeah, it's not that competitive. So
I agree with that.
I don't get it. I don't like this game on the schedule, and I'll say it right now. I don't like it on the schedule, and I'm not trying to be, you know, well, we're great. We're whatever.
Yeah,
I'm just saying. I didn't like it whenever I saw that on the schedule to begin with. There's other teams that I don't know. I'm just going to shut up.
I like Federer Hawking on the schedule, to be honest. Because we've been in...
I don't mind it for a while.
No, not for a while. For but the thing is that we're still building. We're still a young team. We're still a young team and stuff. We're still building.
We agree on one thing.
I get
this
that.
Right,
but
there.
Let's rebuild against teams out of the SVC. Teams at D4 teams, D5 teams, not a D7 team out of the TBC Hawking that can't win a Hawking game. I mean, come on.
Well, let me ask you guys this. We're going into Federal Hawking. We know we're the better team. They're 0-6. They're struggling worse than they struggled last year. They actually had a really decent quarterback last year. He wasn't too bad. If the rest of the team could have played up to his level, them boys dropped balls that would have kept them in that game at certain stages too. So they don't have that kid anymore. So they're worse this year than they were last year. 100%. We've said this about a lot of teams when we didn't know earlier in the season when you hadn't seen them. We know Federal Hawking's bad this year. So we know we're going in as a better team. And I want to bring this up in a point that, you know, people make it out like football is not so much about life, but it kind of is. And you've got kids that are trying to get scholarships and are trying to go to certain levels. And the bigger the school, the better the scholarships, the better the education, the better this kid improves his life. Okay, so everything they do on the football field matters. It really does. It matters. And so let's just use Danum for an example. And he's crushing records and he's doing all these great things. And he can go crazy on a lot of these records. You go into FedHawk this year. And I know some of the coaches on the staff, and I know they feel the same way Dusty feels. You're going into this year, and you got Nalen Yates sitting there, possibly looking at, and I know I'm throwing this out in the air, but possibly looking at a possible first D1 athlete we've had since Jason Snyder back in 93. So this kid could go somewhere, and we're up halftime 26-0, and he has 220 yards rushing. Are you going to put him on the bench and not let him break a record just because you want to try to prove a point or be nostalgic, though? Or are you going to... This kid will get into college by his performances. Is he only allowed to play a half?
If we're up 26-0, then yeah, let him play the third quarter.
Okay, well,
sure.
If we're up 46-0 at halftime, one series in the second half, and then he's on the bench. I don't care what number.
But what
if he
can break that record? You don't let him have that chance.
I hold myself more accountable for that. I would one series and that's it. That's just me.
So you would at least give him a shot at it?
I would let him play one series. If we're up by 40 or 50 points at halftime, I would let him play one series in the second half.
I'll let you go first before I counter that thing.
I just feel before injuries. Now, say if Nalen goes down.
There you go. Exactly.
That's what I'd be
afraid
of.
Oh, you're pulling a whole different card out on me now.
No, that's what I'd be afraid of.
Well,
say
I mean,
if he goes
come
down. Because look at him.
He can go down in the first quarter with 10 yards.
Okay, say if he's not down, we're up 40 points. say he gets back inside their second half, he runs very aggressive.
I mean, it's
a
good argument.
He don't hardly run out of bounds that much. He
that's right.
Him.
That's true.
He hits him. He's the old Walter Payton. Once I know, in a while, he when does. He's actually flooded and he can't get nowhere, he's smart enough.
I'm sure Downs doesn't want him on defense
Plus,
at all.
Plus, also, you got to remember something else about Naylor. He has next year, too.
Exactly.
So why would you even chance yourself for, as we're also agreeing, that he's a real good athlete and stuff, why would you really even chance that?
Because everything helps, though.
For a stat.
Logistics are how you go to college, though.
I understand that.
Logistics are how you go to college. It ain't how pretty you are. It's how well you played on the football field.
Oh, I agree with that. It also depends on your performance against other schools, too, not just one school.
It's risk and reward.
Yes, it is.
Do you really want to break a rushing record or a passing record against Federal Hawking or anybody? I'm not trying to pick on them, but that's just who we're playing this week. Do you really want to try to risk breaking the record and maybe something happening, God forbid, and he's out the rest of the year? I mean, it's risk versus reward. Is it
I'll
really that important
this.
To you to get a record versus a Federal Hawking?
I'll just, in my opinion, in football, you never play football afraid to get hurt, ever.
Oh,
you never do that.
We're not.
It's never a situation where you're like, I don't want him to break a leg, get out of here.
We're saying it from our standpoint.
Play football till I pull you out.
We're saying it from our standpoint, not from a player standpoint.
Yeah.
We're not players. We're looking at it from, you know, I want to see this kid play the rest of the year. I want to see him play next year. I want to see him stay healthy because that's key. If you're not healthy, you're not playing in college.
Oh, yeah. Our offense goes down big time.
Well, absolutely, but it can happen at any stage, though.
So if he has a chance for the record, though, you still put him on the bench because you're worried about him getting hurt.
Lugs, if you were really looking at, say, you said, for example, D1. All right. I'm saying possibly.
It's early. He's a junior.
Let him make his point because it's the same thing I want to say.
All right. Let's just say if you go to a school with D2, D1, and maybe possibility D3.
Yeah.
All right. He's trying to break a Vinton County record. All right. Now let's look at Hilliard Darby or someone like that, their record books and stuff, what they're going at. Only because he's trying to break a Vinton County record, is it really that important? Especially when he has one more year.
I think it piles up.
Is Ohio University going to say, hey, I want that Fed Hawk film from your junior year when you ran for 300 yards? Is that going to make them say, hey, we want you here?
Are you telling me that Timmy
Usley didn't help him get into Muskingum because of what he did last year?
He's on defense. It's a body of work. We know
they're all going to defense. We know that Nayland's probably going to be a safety in D1 if he goes.
If Timmy gets taken out one series into the third quarter last year in that Fed Hawk game, he's still going to play at Muskingum this year.
Yeah.
He's still going to play there.
Yeah.
That didn't make any difference because of the body of work, though.
But don't chop down any of that body of work. Let's just keep building the body of work.
It's not happening every week. Okay. Case in point, all right? Trey Williams.
Joey Burrow. Running back for Athens, yes.
Lerman Brothers. They played a half of every game for 3 years.
But he threw for 4,000 yards passing, though. He's played more than a half.
I don't care. I'm saying if you're good enough to play here or play there or play here, then that's where you're going to go.
Okay.
The Lerman Brothers at OU. Coons from Trimble is at OU. Joey Burrow, everybody knows, is at Ohio State.
But again, it's logistics, though. So their stats and Joey Burrow's are off the charts. As a matter of fact, he threw 4,000 yards passing in the TVC, okay?
Right.
We don't have a guy this year that's going to hit 2,000 yards unless Nayland does it. He's the leader right now in the TVC. He got those logistics just because he got them in a half or whatever. He still got them. He could go to Ohio State and be like, I threw 4,000 yards and went to the state playoffs and finished second in the thing, and that's got him to Ohio State.
I don't know about that.
Hey, what about this one right here? What about Jalen Prater?
All logistics. Got him into Northwestern.
Okay. Now, what stats did he really bring into Northwestern?
He brought combine stats, logistics,
that's
stats, combine.
Combine. That has nothing
that
to
combine.
Do with
that.
That
don't have nothing to do with the games or anything else like that. How many games?
I said logistics, though.
It's
all logistics.
Right? Two or three games. He was injured. He's a great athlete. He's doing great job.
Amazing athlete.
Yeah, that's true.
He's a great. I love watching him on Saturdays when it's on TV. I love watching him. Mm-hmm. He's a great athlete.
Had a big win over Iowa.
Yeah, but I'm just telling you right now. Anymore. Colleges likes combines. I'm telling you, that's where it is. You go to this, go to the combine, especially Nike or Under Armour, where it's online, and you go inside there and look what people can actually do. That's what colleges look at.
Joe Burrow was a 3-star quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
3-star.
Yep.
Yes, he was.
The reason that he's at Ohio State is A, because of logistics, as in terms of Ohio State and Athens are really close together. B, his dad is a defensive coordinator for OU, so he probably knows or at least has a connection with Urban Meyer.
He actually went to the camp, though, for the Elite 11 at Ohio State. He didn't impress there either and still got recruited by Ohio State.
But what I'm saying is Urban kind of had a more of a personal connection with him over the fact, well, he's only a three-star. Because Ohio State, they don't recruit many three-star. It's four-star. You know, you have to be the best of the best in terms of how you're ranked. Mm-hmm. And no matter who's ranking you. And Burrow wasn't that. He was not the best quarterback in the nation coming out. But he still got the nod because of, you know, just the mind, body of work.
Well, the body of work proved he could do it.
But it wasn't for the fact. Because if you go up there and you ask Urban Meyer about the competition that Joey Burrow faced, he's going to tell you that it was probably the worst that anybody on this team, on his team, has ever faced.
Probably.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I agree with him.
Yeah.
Okay? So... Mm-hmm. Just because he's got numbers, that doesn't mean a whole lot. I mean, it means a lot, but it doesn't mean everything.
Well, I think it means somewhere between a lot and everything is what it means. Because when I'm getting recruited, especially when it comes to D3, okay, let's talk about D3 and D2. We know they're not coming to your games and they're not watching you play. They're going by word of mouth of your coach. You're coming in for a thing. They're going to get you 40 times, your logistics and jumps. And what did you do in high school? And they're going to ask you more than they're even going to watch film. So if you could sit in there, though, and tell them what you've done, and if you broke records at your own school, and I'm telling you, when you break records and you had a guy like Jason Snyder who in the 93 who played for Navy and you're smashing records he didn't smash, that stands for a little bit of something. Those are things that you can take with you to help you get into college. So anything you can do, and everybody says this, and again, Beetle Ward's record was awesome. How do we know how good the team was that he broke the record against, though? I mean, how do we know how good these other teams are? If you can give these kids these records, I see nothing wrong with doing it. I see nothing wrong. If Nathan can get that record in Fed Hawk, I would go for it. I would get him the record. I'm not going to try it. I'm just saying if he has a chance.
We got to wrap this up because this is going on forever.
This is like a 40-minute episode.
I just want – my last comment here is, and you guys – we'll give you a last word, and we'll give you a last word. If we beat Fed Hawk 58-0 this Friday, I'm going to be embarrassed. I'm going to be more embarrassed than if they beat us 12-6. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
What if your backups still score and you still beat them 56-0?
That's a different story.
Okay. All right. So no, the score is not necessarily the way it's scored.
The way it's scored. Okay. If we're playing starters into the fourth quarter and we're up by 6-7 touchdowns, to me that's wrong. I don't care what record is out there. That leaves a bad taste in my mouth. So what we'll give you
with my experience with Jeff Downs, because I actually coached with him last time he was coaching here, and he's doing the same thing, a little different offense, but he's always put younger kids inside her. I don't think that Jeff Downs is really even worried about that record. I really don't think so.
Well, I don't think I worry about it either, and I guess unless the opportunity arises.
I don't know. It seems like you're pretty worried about it right now.
Well, listen.
No, I'm not worried about it. I like to see kids achieve great things.
He has another year, too.
Yeah, that's
listen,
true.
I know I said I wouldn't say anything else, but also, one other thing here. Jeff's got connections to Fed Hawk. He took them to the playoffs and won their only ever outright TVC title.
Yes.
Okay, and took them to the their only trip to the playoffs. So how much does that, in turn, affect this game, too, if it starts to get out of hand?
Yeah, so I agree. I think that he's – I mean, he's not going to do what Wellman did last year. I think it was a situational thing with Wellman. So.
Right.
But, no, I'm not, like, hardcore. I want to pound the crap out of made it to nothing. I just like to see kids achieve what they can achieve, and I think – everybody loves these records. Everybody likes to think about what they did back in the year.
Yeah,
I look back in 1991, and I love everything about it. I can remember almost every game I played in, okay? These things these kids can achieve are great for these kids, though. So, I mean, if he can get it, I let him get it. If it never happens, great. It never happens. And if we play this game and Caleb gets 150 yards rushing and Nathan has 150 yards rushing and we win 36-0 and we call the dogs
that'd
off.
Be great.
Jacob Wells gets his time in at quarterback like he has a few times this year and Logan gets in there. Great. That's awesome.
That'd be great.
But if by chance, just like against Alexander, he breaks off a 70-yarder, then he breaks off another 70-yarder, then he breaks off another 60-yarder and you're like, hey, he's got a shot. I'd like to see him get it. I don't care who it's against. I'd like to see him get it. So
one more thing. JV and freshman does not have no game this week.
There you go.
Really?
Yes.
FedHawk doesn't have a JV team,
I'm assuming. I guess the game's been canceled.
I think that's one of the things that really hurts FedHawk, too, in terms of their record, is the fact that the numbers are really low there.
Yeah.
And they have been for a few years. So, because FedHawk, you know, back when Jeff was there, they were competitive.
I mean, they were. That's a real
and even class. Even before and after, they were still a competitive hawking team. So.
And bad thing about it is you're starting to see that trickle down to Alexander, too.
Yeah.
The other day we seen them, junior high, they only had 16 kids.
They're going to struggle. They are. Their numbers are, their numbers and their talent isn't quite what it was last year. And I think they're going to, when Marks and Chase leave next year, that's going to be a big hit to those kids. And again, that they're building a nice facility. It might help them too. So, okay, well, let's wrap up the FedHawk preview.
Yeah.
I knew I was going to take a beating on that, so I was prepared for it anyway. I knew I was outnumbered. So
That's good. That's going to be a good listen right there.
It's good radio right there. That's right. So we got different sides, and we all got to say it. So
That's right.
I'll let you close it.
We'll come back with the TVC preview. Welcome back to episode 7.2, the Viking Red Zone Podcast, brought to you by J&K Contracting. One call does it all, 698-3521. It's time for the TVC preview. We're going to make this one short since we had a lengthy
FedHawk review.
Yeah, last segment.
Preview.
Got a little heated. Some punches were thrown during the break.
I had to tap Dusty out at the break.
Yeah,
we're good
somebody,
now.
A couple bloody noses and black eyes. So let's go. Let's just dive right in here. Let's talk about the Megs and Athens game. Teams that, well, before last week, I guess you could say we're going in the opposite directions. But, man, Athens losing that game at Logan. The game is in Rock Springs at Megs. The Bulldogs come in at 4-2, undefeated in the league, and Megs at 3-3, trying to just salvage, I guess is the best word, an injury-ridden season. With Athens this week and then Jackson next week, it doesn't get any easier. So,
yeah,
this is going to be tough, man. We talked a little bit in the last episode about how, you know, Megs is second string quarterback now. Helton is out. A couple other people are done for the year for them.
That tackle hurt his ankle pretty bad.
Yeah, you know, Megs, a team that a lot of people thought at the beginning of the year might have been the favorite in a lot of people's eyes. So to see them at 3-3, you know, obviously with injuries, and then Athens, another team that was a favorite and kind of still are, I guess, at least in league terms.
Yeah, even with the Logan loss, I think you still keep them up there. But
yeah, I mean, they're still...
Everybody's still looking at that Nelsonville match.
Nelsonville and Athens, I think, clearly are your two top, and then you have, you know, a group right there for the third spot, so...
Yeah,
you know,
it's going to be a tough one. You got to wonder if Megs is packing it in. You know, I mean, they're 3-3. They got all these injuries. You got Athens coming to town and Jackson. I mean, they got to be pretty bummed right now. I mean, even the injuries alone. And then you got these two powerhouses coming in. So you are hosting them, you know. And
well, they go to Jackson next week.
They go to Jackson.
Jackson's got 15 home games this year. So
yeah, beautiful stadium.
Yeah, they're home the rest of the season. Jackson's home the rest of the year.
Went there for a combine, and it is an awesome field. I wish we had that. That's great.
Well, they just redid their turf too.
Yes,
last year
it looks good. It looks really good. But yeah, so I don't know. Like I said, the Megs is definitely going to be struggling for this game, and I mean, you never know. You know, they got Barkley as a coach.
I would have told you last week that. Well, from last week and this week, I would have thought that Athens had a better chance of getting beat by Megs than they did Logan, even with Megs' injuries. And you know what happened last week.
Yes.
So you can never say never, you know, when it comes to high school football. But
and the interesting thing with Athens is Alexander, who we just slaughtered, gave Athens everything they could handle.
Yeah, for 2.5 quarters, yeah.
Athens is looking. And we talked to a friend who watched that game, and he claimed that Athens looked atrocious against Logan, so
yeah,
I'm not sure I buy that.
But that friend, all he sees is perfection every week.
Yeah, Jackson. So yeah, he thinks.
Well, I wasn't going to say the team's name.
Oh, we'll
Come
say
on.
The team. We'll say it. He knows who he is.
I'm kidding.
But yeah, so I mean, is Athens kind of like Wilson? Are they up and down a little bit?
Well, they have been.
Yeah, I mean,
so we'll see. We'll see.
They're still 4-2, and their only two losses are to, well, besides Logan, one's a pretty impressive team they lost to.
Canal, so. Winchester.
Yeah, so really, their only bad game really is Logan, I guess, if you want to look at it, because they did end up beating Alexander pretty bad. So, you know, it took a while to get going, but they ended up doing it. So
yeah. Okay. So let's go to River Valley at Alexander. River Valley, 4-2. I think everybody but Ryan Stewart last week thought that they were going to get beat by Wellston.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Traveling to Albany to face Alexander, the Spartans, and we know how good their duo is with Harrison.
Marks. Yeah. Let's ask you this one, Dusty. You've seen Alexander. You're probably like me. We don't know much about River Valley because I think they live in Tennessee and come up here and play. I don't know. But
come on.
How you feeling about this one? 4-2 River Valley, who's actually, well, they got their two losses in the TVC, which hurts them pretty bad. Alexander's struggling. But River Valley at least stays in a semi-hunt with a win. But they're at Alexander.
Oh, I like River Valley.
River Valley.
Yeah. River Valley is one of those teams that they're dirty. They're kind of old school. They're dirty and everything else.
Are you calling them cheap shotters or just playing hard?
Just playing hard.
Okay,
maybe
here we go.
Maybe a little bit of cheap shot. Okay. Maybe at the end of pile and stuff.
We still got to play them. You know that, right?
Yeah, I understand that.
All right.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
But I just see, after seeing Alexander, seeing their performance and stuff, I really do see River Valley.
Yeah, I think Alexander
because
struggles.
Like something we said last episode is that River Valley, I mean, Alexander's young.
Right, they are.
Alexander's going to have some problems. They actually have a freshman tackle, I think. His name's Chapman, one of the Chapman boys.
Okay.
He might be a guard number 56, real good kid. But you have about four or five freshmen actually play for him.
Well, that's the thing. When you graduate 21 seniors,
you're
going to have freshmen plug some holes.
Oh, yeah.
And it's serious because I think even you look at Alexander and you see Chase and you see A.J., and they look like men out there.
Yeah,
and then the rest
did.
Of the team looks like freshmen. I mean, they look small. You know, they really do. They look. I even said that in the pregame, and I was like, wow, these kids don't look big at all. You know, I mean, they really look like a young team. And we have a young roster, but even our young roster is pretty decent size.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, yes.
I will say, though, Alexander, they don't give up. I mean, they play with a lot of heart.
They have a great coach.
They have a coach that gets everything and more out of them.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And you know, they'll come to play. I mean, I'm not gonna give my prediction away just yet. But
yeah,
they'll be ready to play. And I believe it's homecoming night too. So that
we'll be getting your prediction pretty soon.
That always adds a little bit of extra, you know, motivation.
It is homecoming for Alexander.
It is homecoming in Alexander. So, all right, the last game of the week, Nelsonville York. Travels to Wellston. They're already down 12-0.
Poor Wellston.
The Buckeyes are 4-2 and on a roll. And Wellston 3-3, up and down. So this should be their up week.
And it was down last week.
They were down last week. This should be their up week.
6 points against River Valley. 6 points against the River Valley team. There really hasn't been a stout defense either. You know, and I know you're going to look that up on me, ain't you? They haven't been a stout defense like they were last year. They've been an offensive team.
Yeah, I mean, they gave up 46 and 38 in the last 2 weeks, and then they gave up 6 to Wellston.
Yeah, so Wellston down.
They gave up 27 points to Eastern in week one.
Yeah.
Eastern's 3-3, so.
Average team in there. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, that was kind of surprising.
Down 12 points before game starts.
That's pretty good.
We got to get at least, you know, our every segment crack on
I'm assuming this is this game on a Friday? Do we know when this game is?
Yeah, why wouldn't it be?
I don't know. They have Saturday games in Wellston all time.
They don't. So that's only, they don't.
Jackson or something.
That's just Jackson.
Yeah.
Okay. It'd be nice to have a little bird up there and watching this game just to get a real. I mean, I think you'll be able to really judge Nelsonville by the. If Wellston's up and Nelsonville can do what they should do.
Here's one thing.
They're probably the front.
Here is one thing. Over the last 10 years, right, for whatever reason, if Nelsonville is the team to beat and they're the best team in the league and it's clear, and Wellston's just a mediocre 4-6, 5-5 team like they have been the last 5 years, for whatever reason, They always give Nelson Majorque a game every year. There was one year where they went into overtime, one year where it was really close. I remember, and these are years where Nelson Majorque won the league, and Wilson was a mid-pack team. But for whatever reason, it's just like they don't have that mental edge against the Buckeyes like they do, let's say, like against Jackson or other teams. Always have that team that they can't beat. So for whatever reason, it's I wouldn't be shocked if it was a pretty tight game.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
So
I'll definitely be trying to get updates on this the whole time we're playing. I can tell you that. This is definitely a game to keep an eye on.
It would be. So, all right, that's it. That's going to do it. TBC preview.
There we go. We rocked right through that one.
Right. We'll be back with our pick'ems. Welcome back to episode 7.2 of the Viking Red Zone podcast, brought to you by J&K Contracting, with two locations in Jackson and Albany. One call does it all. 698-3521. This is a segment that I look forward to the most all year.
This is fun.
Or all week.
Yeah.
It is the Dollars and Dimes Pick'ems. Rapid fire Pick'ems.
I just want to point out a few points before we get started. The lead right now is still held by me, 27-13.
All right.
To Nathan's 23-17. You did make up a game this week.
I gained one.
You gained one game. Right now, Brad Rose and Ryan Stewart are 10-3 with Dusty Ward to carry on the tradition here for
them.
So they're
solid, man.
Our guests are making us look pretty bad right now, to be honest with you. So we got to really make Dusty look bad now.
If you prorate that, man, they're beating us pretty good.
So feel free to mind manipulate him into picking a few bad picks, so if you would.
Okay, so before we throw out our picks here, I want to mention about Dollars and Dimes. They have a 10% discount for people like you, Lugs, senior discount.
Us, not just you, Lugs.
Okay, 10%.
I'm the old one.
10% for seniors, and a 25% discount for military. Any veteran, 25% off.
That's good.
Anything in the store.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Monday through Saturday. All right. Now if you go in there and you want the discount, you must ask for the discount. All right.
Tell them the Red Zone sent you.
Yes, and also they are having a dollar sale again on clothing. Now, this isn't the trash bag sale. This isn't that sale. This is just a dollar sale. So you go in there and just...
Every item of clothing is a dollar.
Whatever
on every
you
rack,
want. So, yeah. It doesn't have to fit in anything. As long as it'll fit in your car, you can take it home.
Yeah.
And that goes through October the 12th through the 19th, and that's on clothing.
Yep.
But the discounts, the senior discounts and the military discounts, which are awesome, are on anything in the store at all.
So you get your dollar, and then you get 25% off of your military. So it's 75
Does
cents.
Does it overlap?
We're going to say it. Daggone it, you got technical on me. Goodness. It does now. She didn't tell us enough. It does now.
Hey, so you can cover the difference.
Yeah, tell her to build the red zone. Tell her to build the red zone.
Right. Okay, so let's get into it. Where do we want to start here? Where do we want to start? We always want to give the tough ones at the end. Do you want to we'll go with Nelson Majorque at Wellston.
Starting out for the big one.
4-2, Nelson Majorque travels to Wellston, 3-3. We know, pretty much we know what we're getting. I mean, this is late in the year. You know what each team brings to the table. So the way we do it, the guest starts first, and then Lugs copies off of you because that's what he's done the last 2 weeks. And then I give my pick.
Now, I like Nelsonville, the speed and team speed. I really do think they'll take pretty easy.
Yeah, I'm going to take Nelsonville, but I think I haven't seen Wellston yet have two down weeks in a row. So I'm going to say Nelsonville, or Wellston does kind of give them a little bit of a game, but I think in the end, I think Nelsonville is too much for them. So, by the way, we need a score from you, but I'm going to say score. I'm going to say Nelsonville wins this on 35-20. Give us a score, Dusty. We'll forget to Nathan here.
I was thinking right around 34 to, let's say, 12.
Yeah.
Okay. I could see either one of those. Nelsonville Orca is going to win this game. But like I said before, for whatever reason, Wellston always plays Nelsonville Orca tough. So I'm going to say it's a little lower scoring than maybe what you guys think. Maybe 21 to 8, Nelsonville Orca wins.
So you got Wellston giving them a pretty low score?
Yeah, I think okay. So. Because I think, unlike you, I think River Valley's offense is good. I think they really are.
Oh, yeah, I think they're good. Yeah, they're definitely.
And for Wellston to hold them to 14, even though it was rough out there, mm-hmm. I mean, I would compare River Valley's offense to ours. I mean, their quarterback's got similar stats to Nalen, and for them to hold them to 14 is kind of impressed me. Now, I was surprised that they lost, but I kind of expected it to be a little higher scoring game than what it was. But yeah. Anyways, I think with based off of that, I think it'll be more of a low scoring game.
Okay.
So, next up we have Athens going to Meigs. Athens 4-2. Meigs 3-3. We know the situations. What do you think?
Oh, I'm going Bulldogs. 100%.
Give us the Brad Rose bark. Do we get that in this one?
No. Okay. I'm not that big a fan.
It was more of a howl.
No, not at all.
It was more of like a kitty cat. Yeah. I don't know.
I coach against him a lot. No. Score?
Yeah.
48-10.
Yeah. I'm not riding his coattails. I'm just saying I'm right with you on this one. I got Athens Bulldogs. I think, I don't know what happened against Logan, but, buddy, Megs might have picked a bad week to be playing Athens, because I'm telling you, they're probably going to come out with vengeance, and it's going to be a beaten-up Megs team that we know is hurt real bad. So, yeah, Athens has got this one pretty easy. I think this one could be 54-6. I think it'll be that bad. As Nathan's pondering his pick.
Yeah, 42-0. I think Megs with the third-string quarterback, I just don't think they're going to be able to move the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say it, but it's going to be a shutout.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, it's just how much can Megs keep overcoming?
Right. You
know? Yeah.
Okay, now what we're going to do here is we're going to skip. Wait, no, we're not going to skip this one. We got one more. River Valley and Alexander.
Yeah.
4-2, River Valley, Alexander 1-5. We've seen Alexander. River Valley's been up and down the last couple weeks. They get smashed by Nelsonville. They come out and they shock Wellston. Mm-hmm. Who you got in this one?
Oh, I'm going to River Valley. Just that Alexander has a younger classman. River Valley's defense has been pretty good in the past when we played against them. Score-wise, I would say 28-14. They always have good little kicker.
2014 River Valley. Okay, I'd be right with you on River Valley if it was there. It's at Alexander, and I'm going to go crazy on this pick. I'm picking Alexander to win this one. It's going to be a close game.
Side bet.
Marks and Harris are definitely good athletes. There's no doubt about that. They are good athletes.
It's homecoming.
River Valley's been up and down. They've kind of played to their competition, and I think if it's homecoming against Alexander – and you're playing these guys and you give them a little bit of a chance, I think they can beat these guys. I don't think I think they're going to shock River Valley early. They're going to get a lead. River Valley's going to make a run back at them, but it's going to be too late. I got Alexander winning this game 27-20. That's a big pick right there. I'm just telling you. That's a big pick right there.
Yeah. I don't think so. I don't think so. I think River Valley is going to win. I think you can never count out a Penrod-led team, though, because of the way he is as a coach. You know, one of the best in the league.
I think you'd pick River Valley against, like, Ohio and stuff. I don't know. I kind of feel like River Valley's definitely a favorite of yours to pick.
I didn't pick River Valley last week.
I don't think you did. You picked Wellston, didn't you?
I know. Yeah. And the week before.
Did you? 2 weeks in a row?
I don't know.
I can look that up. We need to. We'll believe you. Okay. We'll just trust you.
River Valley wins. I'm going to say it's going to be closer, maybe like a 35 to 26. I think it's going to be a close, maybe a one or two score game, just for the fact that I have, you know, the respect for Penrod, and obviously those two athletes they have can can make stuff happen quick. So
yeah, they're good.
All right, now what we're going to do here is we're going to skip the last. Well, we have our game, which we're going to do last, but we're going to skip the last high school game that we have on the ticket because it is so big, right?
Yeah.
So epic. we're gonna do the two college football games like we always do, and the first one we'll do is Florida State and Miami. Now this is a huge rivalry game. Miami's at Florida State in Tallahassee. Miami's 4-0, ranked 14th. Florida State's 3-2, ranked 12th, for whatever reason.
Yeah, how's that work,
I don't know, man.
I mean, geez. So, if Ohio State was 3-2 right now, they'd be ranked 48th.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, that's not fair.
Got a point. Okay, so, yeah, which one you got?
So you said they're at Florida State, right?
They're at Florida State.
I got to go Florida State. I'm going Florida State. They just had that loss last week. They have a decent little, squad.
Yeah, they're good. They're a good program. Got that freshman quarterback that's kind of eating it up, doing pretty good.
Oh. My cousin would kill me if I chose Miami anyways.
Give us a score. What's that score going to be?
It's going to be a close game. It's always a close game between those two.
Yep. Wide left. Always. Wide left.
28-21.
Okay. I'll tell you. Is this my turn?
It's your turn. Okay. It's, right. You go second.
Right. I was trying to figure out the home team on the other one there real quick. But, all right, I'll tell you what. I hate Florida State. I mean, next to Michigan, I think they're my most hated team. I don't know why.
Really?
I don't like him, and I don't like him. I'm giving Jared Hawk his first shout-out. I've talked trash with him about Florida State for years. So, you know, I just don't like Florida State. Don't like him. Never liked him with Charlie Ward. Didn't like him then. I don't like Miami either, though. That's the problem I'm having here, okay?
Because I don't like the state of Florida.
No, when we beat Miami, I was so glad for that national title. I mean, I that was the greatest thing ever, watching McGahee's leg get shattered in the air. I loved it.
That was disgusting.
That was great.
That was sick.
That was disgusting.
I'll never forget
Dan Fouts. It was disgusting in a good way.
Dan Fouts sees the replay for the first time. He's like, oh, my goodness. When he's it's like, that's disgusting.
Okay. Yeah, so
we don't want to watch that.
So we got two teams here that I don't like either one very well, but it's a big matchup, so I put it on the list anyway. And I'm having a little bit of trouble with it because I want to see them both lose in the same game, and I don't think I can do it.
That can't happen.
I'm just telling you, I think Miami's had a tougher schedule. They're 4-0. Florida State's obviously lost some big teams. They lost some big games, but Florida State showed crazy offense, but I'm taking Miami. I'm picking them. I'm going crazy this week. It's my pick-ems, I'm spreading the gap. Miami's winning this game. They're going to go 5-0. I'm going to pick the score. I'm going to say 32-28. That's my pick. Sticking to it.
Well, I'm going to make another one up. Florida State's going to win.
Who's riding whose coattails now? Are you just going to listen to Dusty? Is that all you're going to do?
35-28.
Florida State.
35-28. Okay.
Okay.
Now, who's the home team on the next one?
That's what I was looking up.
It has to be.
I think it's the Aggies.
It has to be Texas A&M.
I think it's the Aggies.
Okay, so you got number 9, Texas A&M, 5-0, hosting your favorite team, number 11, Tennessee. At 5-0. Now, we know Tennessee's road. I mean, they have just annihilated every team they've played, especially the teams from the MAC, to be at ranked 11.
It is at the Aggies, by the way.
Yes. Okay, so this is going to be a good one.
I got to go with Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Yeah, I got to go to Tennessee. I've been rooting for them since halfway through last year.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They've been showing. I actually priced some tickets here recently to go down there and watch Tennessee.
Really? I got my brother down there, dude. You just tell me. I get you these things.
I really think about going to Bristol.
That would have been so cool. I would have wanted to go there.
Then I thought about it.
There's our NASCAR plug. We went the whole show without talking about NASCAR, and you did it at the end.
But I've been in Bristol 9 times.
Wow.
I just knew how far it would be to look at the field and watch a football game on that.
It's really cool.
But they had the freaking huge.
I know, but I didn't want to look through it.
But just being the there, fence. Man. Being there, being a.
That's all it would be. You have to start camping Wednesday, like a NASCAR race.
That'd be awesome. Be great. That's so cool.
All right, what's the score? Give us a score.
It's going to be low scoring. I think it's going to be low scoring. 24-19.
Well, we know Tennessee can't score, so.
You never know what you're getting with them, so. I'm going to let you go next.
That's not fair.
I don't want to ride on anybody's coattails.
That's not fair.
Okay, I'm going to go. Okay. All right. All right, when I seen this match, I've almost chuckled because I took OU against Tennessee, and then I took Tennessee the next week.
You said so, how bad Tennessee was 1 week, and then
how awesome they were against Florida.
Could not be denied the week later.
All right, I'll just tell you this. Okay, they're both 5-0. This is a really cool matchup, to be honest with you. It's going to be a great game. It really is. It's going to be a great game. I'm taking Texas A&M. I think they're the better team in this one. I just do. I just think they're the better team. No other reason. I like Tennessee. I think they struggle too much as an overall team, though. I think they rely too much on their quarterback. So, my brother lives in Tennessee. He's probably yelling at me right now. I'm going to make him listen to the podcast just so he can yell at me. But I'm going with Texas A&M on this one. I think they win this one. I think they win this one. I mean, it's going to be close, but I don't think it's going to be that close. I'm going to call this one 32-20.
Okay. I think you're right. I think Texas A&M is a little bit better of a team. But...
Uh-oh.
Georgia's a better team than Tennessee, I think. Tennessee wins that game on a last-second touchdown pass.
Mm-hmm.
I think that some years, teams have this magic, and Ohio State did it when they won in 2002.
Yep.
Ohio State had no business winning that national title that year. None. Whatsoever. They should have lost two or three games that year.
Yeah, Crenshaw had to pull one out in Purdue.
The Holy Buckeye, yeah.
Yep.
So what I'm saying is I think Tennessee just has it. Now, are they going to go and make it to the playoffs? I don't know. I doubt it. But are they going to beat Texas A&M this Saturday? 35-10. Yeah, they're going to beat them.
Woo! 35-10.
You got it.
Wow. Well, thank goodness scores.
I don't have to get the score right.
Thank goodness score don't matter.
I just got to get the game.
I'll say it. Thank goodness score don't matter. All right. We got two games left. Which one are we going for first?
I really hate to put ours.
That's okay.
Not last, but we'll pick ours next.
Okay.
This next game is just so big.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. 2-4, Vinton County at 0-5, Federal Hawking.
BC? I got to say VC all the way. Score-wise, I hate to say it. I'd say right around 57, almost close to last year. What was the score last year?
56-6.
Yeah, I'd say right around there. Mm-hmm. I really do.
All right, well, I'm saying Benton County. I'm going to be a little different than you on score. I know the coaches that are there, and I know how they felt about last year. And I know that they're going to be out to prove a point that we do have a little bit of class and that they're going to try to show it. So, we're going to win this game pretty handily. It's not going to be that tough of a game. They're not going to score on us. We're going to shut them out. We're going to put a goose egg on the scoreboard for them. But we're going to win this in 36-0. And I think we're going to score 30 points in the first half, 6 in the second. We're going to let our backups get some playing time.
And I'll bet you our backups score, too.
Yeah, and they might. They might get a touchdown. But I'm going to say 36-0, Vinton County.
I completely agree, although I do think Fed Hawk will score in the second half on a second team, 42-12.
You know Dusty's boys are second team, right?
I'm just saying.
They're saying your boys getting scored on, Dusty.
Doesn't mean I'm not playing, buddy.
Prove him wrong, Logan. Prove him wrong, buddy. Prove him wrong.
We'll hit on a couple plays. All right. Okay.
Keep your head up, Ward. Keep your head up.
Prove me wrong. Yeah, exactly. I'd love a shutout. Okay, so this is maybe the game of the century.
Yeah, it's big.
High school football.
It's crazy.
A team that everybody knew would be 6-0 versus a team that only I knew would be 6-0.
We've never lived that down. He picked this before the season started.
Did you really?
That Waverly would be 6-0 at this point.
Yeah.
Now, he also had another prediction that I'm going to see if he lives up to that or not, and then we'll find out. But he predicted the Waverly to be this dominant from the beginning, and nobody saw it coming.
I said before the year Waverly would be 9-1, and they would lose to Wheelersburg.
That's what he said.
That's what I said. Go back and listen.
You did. You said
I got texts. You and Travis. We texted. Yeah. Travis called me an idiot. Just saying.
Who's the idiot now?
Who's the idiot now?
I knew it was coming. I knew it.
Wheelersburg 6-0, and it's at Waverly.
Yes, that's a big deal.
At Waverly.
Big deal. Yeah.
I would have to choose Waverly. Only because
You're picking Waverly?
Oh, Zane Trace played him, and I talked to the coach there, Marcus Games, and he said
former Benton County coach.
Yeah, former Benton County coach. I coached with him for years.
And yes, you
he
did.
Said that they are a very, very high powerful team. They move the ball quick, they got a good defense, or they're quicker all the way around the ball.
Really?
Even though I seen Willisburg play last year, but I would have to choose Waverly.
Waverly.
Oh yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm not going to say that Waverly isn't an absolutely dominant team this year. They are having one heck of a season. And what an impressive turnaround from last year, by the way. I just want to point that out. I mean, I know last year they were struggling. Everybody thought they were down. And 6-0 right now is pretty amazing. So, Willisburgs are freaks. They just
always
are. Yeah, they're always – yeah, you're exactly right. They're always there. I just don't think Waverly can knock them off. I think it's going to be a very interesting game. I think in the end, Waverly's going to kind of get outmanned. I think it's going to be tough for him. Willisburg is going to win this one probably 44-32.
Ooh, that close, huh?
I just it's home, so I'm going to give okay. I'm going to give Waverly a little bit of a chance.
All right, well, let me just
educate you a little bit.
Well, here we go.
We'll throw a couple numbers out here.
Okay.
All right, first number is 45. That's how many points Wheelersburg's given up this year. Okay. Second number is 13.
That's how many Waverly's given up
this year. That's how many Waverly's given up this year. Okay. The third number is 2. That's how many teams with a winning record Wheelersburg has beaten.
Impressive.
The last number is 3. That's how many teams Waverly's beaten with a winning record. Okay. Mm-hmm. Waverly has 5 shutouts this year. They have shut 5 teams out. Right?
Yes.
5 teams out. Two of which are a combined 9-3. They've shut 2 teams out that are a combined 9-3, 39-0 and 42-0. Mm-hmm. Now, I've said it all year long. I felt like Wheelersburg was the best team in the area and Waverly was the second best team. And everybody called me dumb.
I didn't call you dumb.
I said I was wrong.
That's like dumb.
I don't know if I said wrong. I don't think I believed it.
Okay.
We'll say that.
I'm taking Waverly.
Wow. Really?
28-27 in overtime.
Okay.
Waverly wins this game.
In overtime.
27-28? Yeah.
So they missed a kick. Or they go for 2. What's it gonna be?
I'm gonna say Waverly scores. I'm gonna say Waverly scores first in overtime and gets the extra point. Wheelersburg goes for the win on the road and they don't get it.
Really? That'd be a heartbreaker.
And then you better believe that the second that game goes final, that 2 people are getting texts.
Well, I know me and Ruckel are getting it. I guarantee you that much. It's going to happen. So
that's it.
I don't know. I feel my lead's pretty safe this week. Tell you.
I might even take the lead after this week.
Now, is Waverly close. Still running that 3-5? He was running 3-5 for years.
I don't know.
I think they're – I watched the Piketon game, and I think they're 4.
Are they in 40?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm pretty sure. Now, maybe they change. Maybe they've changed. I don't know why they would. I mean, they've not given up very many points. So, whatever they started with there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I tell you what. If you can't go to our game, or if you're just a general fan and you like to go watch the best games of the week, that is where you need to be. You can go down there and watch a great game, get a Fred's Pizza afterwards. Perfect.
Fred's Pizza. You even know the pizza shop in the town, dude. How do you know that?
They got a 26-inch pizza, and it is massive. And
really?
If you eat it all, you got 2 people. You got 26 minutes, 2 people. If you eat it all, you get it free, and you get T-shirts. But there's no way.
There you go, Tim McManus. You heard it here, buddy. Okay? You heard it here. Let's go. We got that.
Take the bus down. We'll get everybody on the bus, and we'll take them down to Waverly.
Yeah, eating pizza, so.
Fred's Pizza.
That's awesome. All right, man. We got our dollars and dimes for the week.
All right, we'll be back with a special little segment.
And then we'll wrap it up.
And then we'll be done.
All right. We'll
see
be back.
You. See you after. Welcome back to episode 7.2, the Viking Red Zone podcast, brought to you by J&K Contracting. One call does it all, 698-3521. And we're going to finish this episode up here with the junior high, what we got going on in the junior high this week, tonight.
Yeah, and I think we'll go ahead and Dusty's the coach, we'll let him tell the schedule. What's going on for Thursday, I believe, right?
Tonight. Yeah. Tonight we have, starts at 5:30, we have a doubleheader. First game's a 7, and right after that will be the 8th grade. Should actually be a real good game. Last year, I think the 8th grade lost by maybe a touchdown.
Yeah, it was actually 12-12. Well, it was 12-20. No, it was 12-12. They were going down the field, and they fumbled. And I've got the video if we need proof of this, by the way. This is not a conspiracy. 12-12, they're going down. Zach Rideball hits the running back, hits him. Doesn't tackle him, just hits him and wraps him up. The ball falls out like he pooped it out. It's laying on the ground.
Butt fumble.
It was a butt fumble. It was a junior high butt fumble, okay? The ball's laying on the ground, and Zach sees it and lets go of the kid and jumps on the ball. The kid's still standing, okay? Jumps on the ball. The kid jumps on Zach, and they called the kid down by contact. And they went down and scored with a minute left and beat us 20-20.
You sure it was down by contact or maybe forward progress?
No, I don't know how they called it, but they gave him the ball.
Probably,
I don't know.
Probably forward progress.
Yeah, and a heartbreaker because we really outdid them. We really played better than them, too. So that was kind of like a heartbreaking loss because they scored right there
at the
end. So.
You'll have that at the junior high ranks.
They're a great team. So we're expecting a very competitive game, I think, too.
Now,
right?
You also got to think about the 7th grade. You got a lot of friends playing against each other.
Yes, right. Because we have a reunion of sorts in the 7th grade game, right?
So, yes.
Tristan Prater plays for Jackson now, went through the Little Vikes for a segment. Him and Evan are great friends. I mean, they're almost best friends, right?
They actually eat with each other all weekend.
Were they really?
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder what them conversations were about.
I got one question, though.
Uh-huh.
The games are at Jackson, right?
Yes.
Went over that. Now, will they charge you to park?
At the old field? No.
They do not at the old field. That's right. They do not.
Will they be charging for bags of air at the concession stand?
At least probably $5 what they usually charge for parking.
That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Yeah. We love Jackson. We love them. They're great.
So that would be, I mean, honestly, though, that would be, if you're going to go watch a junior high game, that'd be a good one to go watch, especially because you get to watch both of them at the same time.
So yeah.
It's going to be high intense.
Yeah, I mean, because obviously our 7th grade is, and again, they're a very good 7th grade class. Yeah. And Jackson's 7th grade is like, and I know we've seen them all. We know that freshman class is like elite. They got an amazing freshman class.
Yeah, right.
Their 8th grade class is good, but they didn't have the studs the 9th grade class has in it. Mm-hmm. That 7th grade class is kind of back to almost elite. You know, there's a bunch of kids in that class. So you got a really good 7th grade Vinton County team with a lot of potential players in a couple years are going to be playing some varsity. And I'm not a big fan of freshmen playing varsity anyway, but, I mean, we got some in that 7th grade class that can do it.
Yeah.
They do, too. You know, Tristan Prater is a really good player, and they got a couple other good players on that roster also. So
be a good measuring stick.
It's going to be a very competitive game. So, and I know I've got a ski riding on this game.
I was going to say that.
Yeah, I got a ski riding on this
that
game.
That makes it just enormous.
So, Evan, don't be giving any secrets out to Tristan this week, okay? Don't be giving any secrets out because I need you to pull this one out because I want my ski.
It's all about defense.
Yeah. So,
okay.
We'll see what happens.
All right, so that's the junior high this week. And we're going to finish with a little follow-up to what episode did you talk about?
I believe it was episode 4, I think, right?
Okay, yeah, 4.1? We did a story earlier in the season about Dusty.
Mm-hmm.
And, Lugs, I'll let you take over and ask the questions.
Okay, just do a brief recap of it, and we just wanted to kind of follow up and see how things are going. There was an accident in Logan. Dusty was behind the accident, and long story short, he had to pull a kid out of a smashed truck. Truck ended up getting caught in flames or whatever. Kid was pretty seriously hurt, you know, really bad. We know Dusty's kept in contact with him, so we just wanted to follow up, see how he's doing. I know you actually, I think you've seen him Saturday, I believe, right?
Yeah, it was actually the first time I got to see him Saturday. That's when he, I think 2 days ago, he finally started talking again.
Wow.
They lowered his trait and stuff so he can actually start talking. His jaw's still wired shut. He still has a lot of third-degree burns on his feet and stuff, but they're respecting a full recovery. After they're hopefully in a week they'll actually get him out of OSU Burn Clinic and go to Children's Hospital.
And I think I saw on Facebook, is he actually able to stand right now?
Yeah, actually, right when I got there, the room's so small, so his mom kind of kept me in this little waiting room and stuff, and and his dad was getting dressed and his brother and stuff, and they started wheeling him down, and they didn't really want him to, but he ended up standing up and had to give me a big old hug and told his mom, said, I got to have a picture of my hero.
That is so cool.
It made me feel pretty good and stuff. But
yeah, that was awesome. So.
But the best thing about the thing is that he don't remember nothing, and that's one good thing about it.
Really? Right.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah,
so
that's a real good thing.
I mean, I can see that trauma doing that, too. You know, I mean, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
that's
right.
That's a very, very traumatic thing that he went through. So a very traumatic thing you went through. I mean, one of the things people don't realize is, I mean, Dusty was in harm's way, you know, for the whole time. So it's a pretty amazing thing. So, I mean, do you want to give the kid's name, give him a shout-out or anything? Do you want to keep that private still? That's up
to
you.
Michael Hicks.
Michael Hicks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Prayers go out to Michael Hicks, and he's recovering good and stuff. He sent me a little video on Facebook. You couldn't hardly hear it that well because his crate was a little bigger for my birthday and stuff. It was pretty cool and stuff. I got up there.
That was awesome.
His parents gave me a card and gave me a little cross and stuff, and they said, we can't honor you no more. But
good. All right. Michael Hicks, hey, we're glad he's recovering. They're expecting a full recovery.
Yeah, full recovery. I was
amazing.
Really surprised.
I believe that.
One thing I got to give out is, as your terminology, a shout-out for Rocky Boots.
Uh-huh.
They actually provided me a code to buy any one item, any amount, for the boots that actually kind of got messed up. So
you're kidding
like
me.
I like that a lot, Alex.
Really?
That is amazing.
That. That's crazy.
Good deeds do not go unrewarded, do they? I mean, they really don't. That's
awesome.
Great. So good all-around story overall then. So everything turns out great. I know the kid at one time was, they weren't even sure if he was going to make it at one point, right?
Yeah,
I mean, things are pretty sketchy. So.
Yeah, he was pretty bad for 2 weeks. They kept him highly dosed up because the burns and stuff. And I hear the treatment process for burns is pretty bad, really bad.
That's awesome. So.
We didn't, a lot of things we talk about before the show or before we come, you know, do the segment, and we didn't say anything about this. So this is the first time I'm hearing all this stuff after the initial story.
Yeah.
And I can't believe it, man. That's so awesome.
Now, at the time, you don't think about it. You think, to be honest, you think your own kids. Hopefully someone does that for your own kids.
Right.
Really do.
Yeah.
You really do.
That's great. And like I said, it's great. The full recovery, the kid's doing well.
Oh, yeah. They couldn't.
You had a picture with you on Facebook, and he looks really good. I mean, you know, I got to be honest, from the way the accident was, I was surprised he was even standing, you know, because I knew his legs were damaged really bad.
Yeah, it's just mostly his feet.
Yeah.
What I seen and what I hear of his coverage, it's actually going to be pretty bad stuff.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, we're glad to hear about it. Like I said, Michael Hicks, our prayers go out to him, too. So Red Zone's super proud of everything, and we're glad everything turned out great. So we want to thank you, Dusty, for spending the whole week with us, by the way. In my house, I'm sure it's been fun the whole time. So it is Thursday. We have games tonight, and we have a game tomorrow night at Fed Hawk. Everybody go to it. It's going to be awesome. Watch our high-flying offense go at it again.
Talking about junior high game, right? High-flying offense, right?
Yeah, high-flying junior high offense, yeah. So a seventh grade kind of throws it around there a lot. I'll just tell you that. It's funny the difference in teams. Eighth grade's a smash-mouth team, and seventh grade's a high flyer. So.
Right.
But, yeah, so come watch the games.
Thank you very much for having me here.
It's awesome, man.
Thanks for dragging me here, I should say.
Hey, I'm glad you came, dude. This was fun. This
was
a blast.
It was a good time.
Our segment on the Fed Hawk is classic. I hope everybody, at least if nothing else, go back and listen to our Fed Hawk preview because it is awesome. A lot of good information there. You can get on our Facebook page and tell us what you think. We don't care. We love it. Controversy makes for everything. So, all right, guys. We will see everybody next week.
That's right. Go Bikes.
All right. Thanks again, Dusty.
Yep. No problem.